Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for another episode of Friends with Money, Money Magazine's podcast to help you earn, save, and achieve your financial goals. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine. And as always, it is a pleasure to be with you. Cash. For some Australians, physical coins and notes will be about as irrelevant these days as checks or maybe even a small bag of gold doubloons. For others, though, having access to cash remains a key part of how they pay. Whatever your preferred payment method is now, though, it's fair to assume that most of us, aside perhaps from our very youngest listeners, will have had some experience using cash. And perhaps even a few memories of coming home from the shops or a cafe or a bar and finding a dog-eared or torn note amongst our change. Obviously, not a discovery that any of us will want to make. So have you ever wondered what happens to all those banknotes around the country that do become damaged? And if you find one in your own possession, what you can actually do with it? Well, we are about to get into those questions and more because I am very pleased to say that we have a very special guest joining us today on Friends with Money, Professor Greg Dikanoski, Chief Scientist at the Note Issue Department at the Reserve Bank. Greg, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Good, thanks, Tom. Good morning and pleasure to be here.
So, Greg, to start us off, I'm interested in getting, I guess, a bit of a sense as to just how prevalent the use of coins and notes still is in Australia. Does the Reserve Bank have any figures on cash use among Australians and where, I guess, it sits in terms of our payment preferences these days?
That's a good question, Tom. And yes, the bank does conduct regular consumer payment surveys. And as a result of the last survey that the bank conducted, yeah, as you mentioned in your introduction, you know, the use of cash has declined in Australia as it has in most other parts of the world. And you know, at the moment, the percentage of cash used in consumer payments is around about 13%. And that's down from about 70% in around 2007.
Wow.
So it has dropped off. Yeah, you know, when you think about that in context of other payment systems, debit cards, they're about half the payments that people make. So from the survey, and credit cards are about a quarter of the payments systems that people use. When you think about in-person payments, cash is about 16%. So it's a little bit higher when people make in-person payments. And high cash users, those that use cash in about 80% or more of their in-person transactions, they account for about 7% of all Australians. So when you think about that in terms of our population, it's about 1.4 million people that classify themselves as high cash users.
Interesting. Obviously, our focus today is very much on cash, and I guess, you know, as a result, the people that often still use cash. So let's get a little bit more into the world of damaged banknotes then. Greg, can you give us, I guess, any sense or a rough idea of the volume or the value of banknotes that actually do become damaged in Australia every year?
Yeah, sure, Tom. So if we think about the last financial year, so you know, 1 July 2023 to 30 June 2024, there are about 8,500 claims that were submitted to the RBA. And in terms of dollar value, it's about $3.5 million.
Wow.
So it is a substantial amount of claims that people are able to redeem and get value for the damaged banknotes. It has fallen in recent years, and I think that is related to the amount of cash that is used in transactions, but it still equates to a fairly substantial sum. And when you think about 3.5 million, that is around about 98,000 banknotes, or if you go back to claims, it's about 12 banknotes per claim that people are submitting with damage.
So I guess one of the major questions I had coming to this thing, Greg, is what's behind, you know, these damaged banknotes? What causes damage? And I guess what are the kind of more common reasons that the banknotes become damaged?
Yeah, good question. And, you know, the vast majority of the the individual banknotes, they are the very boring, you know, the as you mentioned at the beginning, you know, they're missing a corner, they're torn or they're ripped. So they are the sort of the, you know, the run of the mill. And then you've got the banknotes that are caused by natural disasters. Mm-hmm. Now, in Australia, of course, we have floods in summer and I guess it's in the rainy season, depends on which part of the country you're in. And then you've got the bushfires, and they account for quite a large percentage of our claims that come in. And it is seasonal, of course, and it depends upon, you know, the climate at the time. And not so much last financial year, but the financial year before, we had, you know, a lot of floods that went through, and a lot of claims came in from the public. And if we look at a number, it was about $20 million of banknotes that were damaged by floods in 2022. So that was a very substantial natural disaster, and we're able to process and pay back those damaged banknotes. So a great benefit to the community.
And Greg, just on that, the notes that do become damaged because of bushfire or flood, at least in the examples that you used in recent years, have they just come from individuals, or are they, you know, also businesses?
It's a mixture. You get individuals submitting claims, but the really large volume claims tend to come from, you know, the financial institutions. Mm. Because, you know, if you have a town that gets flooded, and your whole bank branches or ATMs are subject to those floodwaters, then there's large claims that come from the financial institutions. And then you've got the people that have, you know, banknotes damaged, and because they're storing them in their homes.
Beyond the more common causes, I'd love to know if you have any kind of more unusual examples of damaged banknotes. Anything that's, I guess, raised your eyebrows over the years.
Well, I could tell you some stories, Tom, that, you know, just, you know, to give you some examples, you know, that, you know, we get some very interesting reasons. You know, my banknotes were eaten by a cow.
Wow.
Run over by a lawnmower, hidden in electrical appliances, you know, air fryers, toasters, sandwich presses, ovens. There's a whole host of places that people have stored banknotes where they become damaged. And then you get the ones that come with, you know, chemical damage, you know, whether that's from, you know, a law enforcement activity, you know, it could be chemicals, they've been exposed to chemicals, even things like drugs, you know, you find these things on our banknotes. So yeah, it's a very interesting suite of different causes of damage you can see with our banknotes.
I'd love to track down the owner of that cow and find out more about how it got into some banknotes and what the after effects of that were.
You probably don't want to know.
No, that's true. That's true. Maybe not one to follow up then. I think we've got a great sense of the causes now. So let's get into how the Reserve Bank actually deals with these damaged banknotes. So I guess first of all, if someone ends up with a ripped or torn note, something kind of more common like that, and they have one in their possession, Greg, what should they actually do?
Yeah, so I'm asking for a plug for the RBA website. There's some really great information that's available on our website. So if you go to, you know, www.rba.gov.au, and then you move to banknotes, and then you move to damaged banknotes, there's some great information and claim forms that people can use to submit a claim, and then the reimbursement, you know, follows. So there's obviously some information that's collected, and then it comes. So you can take that to your financial institution. They can help you submit the claim, or you can send it in directly to the RBA. So when the damaged banknote claim with the form arises, there's a nice form that we ask people to complete, because that helps us with our tracking. It comes in. It makes its way to Craigieburn in Melbourne, where all of the damaged banknotes are processed, so that they will be opened, they'll be assessed. If it's a simple claim that is torn or ripped, it's a matter of measuring the size of the banknote, so it's paid proportionally. So if you have more than 80% of the banknote present, you obtain full value. If you have less than 20% present, there is unfortunately no value. But anything in between it, then it's a ratio. So if you've got half a banknote, you get half the face value of the note. And if it's severely damaged or contaminated, it's assessed by a series of a team of scientists, and they're able to determine the value of the severely damaged. So if it's, you know, bushfire or something like that, there are these techniques that the scientists can use to be able to work out the value of a claim that's submitted by a member of the public.
So people can get refunds then if they do, you know, send a damaged banknote in. Obviously, as you said, it's proportionate to how much of the note is remaining, at least in those simple cases.
Correct. Yeah. So the one of the services that the bank offers to support the support cash and to support the community is that we are able to reimburse people if they do end up in possession of an accidentally damaged banknote.
I think that's really important to know. But what I'd love to know, following on from that as well, Greg, is kind of what happens. You've touched on this a little bit, but, you know, say someone does send in a single note, you know, perhaps it's ripped or torn or dog-eared or whatever it is, or perhaps, you know, you receive a larger batch of damaged notes that have been, you know, damaged, you know, for whatever reason. Can you dig into what actually happens next? So they're assessed, then what happens to the notes as well? And I guess what's your role and your team's role in this process?
Yeah. So when the notes arrive in the damaged banknote facility, they're assessed on a size. If it's a torn, ripped banknote, the value is recorded in a database, and then the person is then reimbursed for the assessed value of the claim. So they are then paid electronically. So the funds are returned to them. So if they submit a $100 banknote and there's 95% of it present, they'll end up with $100 credited back to their bank account. If they're contaminated or severely damaged, they'll go to a special laboratory where we use some different techniques to be able to assess the value. And again, it's the same process. You know, once the value is determined, then a payment will be made to the claimant. All of the damaged banknotes are then destroyed. So they are, you know, removed from circulation, destroyed, so that we maintain the quality of our notes in circulation. So that's one of the other roles of the damaged banknote program, is that we don't want those damaged banknotes to remain in circulation. We want to have them removed so that the public ends up with high quality banknotes in circulation, and of course in their wallets and purses.
This is fascinating, Greg, and I guess it's so different for me, covering the Reserve Bank and monetary policy all the time, to know that there is, you know, this other side of the bank and this kind of service out there for people to use.
Yes, Tom. I mean, it is a facility that the bank is very proud to offer, and it sits outside of what people do normally see in the media from the Reserve Bank, which is all about monetary policy. So it is a service that we offer to the community, and it's a way of helping the community, particularly in times of hardship where people have experienced loss and sometimes large loss as a result of natural disasters. So it's quite pleasing to be able to help people when they're in times of hardship.
I can imagine. Greg, this is, as I said, been a genuinely fascinating topic to get into today. I never thought that it would be as interesting as I found that it is. So hopefully our audience feels the same way. Thank you so much for coming on the show and for covering so much ground. It's been a pleasure having you on.
That's been my pleasure, Tom. Thanks very much.
That's it for this episode of the Friends of Money podcast. But don't forget to jump on our website, moneymag.com.au, for your daily dose of financial news. Or you can go grab yourself a copy of the latest edition of Money Magazine in all good newsagents. As always, Friends of Money will be right back in your podcast feed next week. So until then, my name is Tom Watson. Goodbye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.